So you missed a payment on your IRS installment agreement. Maybe the money wasn't there that month. Maybe the direct debit bounced after you switched banks. And now you're sitting there, waiting for your paycheck to get garnished. Is that fear anywhere close to reality?
The fear is normal. It's also early. A missed payment does not cancel your installment agreement. The agreement stays legally in effect until the IRS formally terminates it. And to terminate it, they have to give you advance notice first.
Notice, meaning a letter.
ACP 523. That's the notice of intent to terminate installment agreement. And it has a termination date printed on it, typically about 30 days out from the notice date. That printed date is your real deadline, not the day you missed the payment.
CP 523. Okay. And if the CP 523 hasn't come yet?
Then you're at the cheapest stage of this whole thing. Your only running cost is interest, plus the failure to pay penalty at 0.25% a month. And that's accruing on your full balance, not just the amount you missed.
Wait, back up. The whole balance?
The whole balance. That's true whether you're current or not. But here's the piece people miss. While the agreement is in effect, the penalty runs at 0.25% a month instead of 0.5%. Once the plan terminates, that rate snaps back to double.
So the plan itself is buying you the lower rate.
Right. And it's buying you something bigger. Levies are generally barred by law while your agreement is in effect, for 30 days after the IRS proposes to terminate it, and while a timely appeal of that termination is pending. A missed payment by itself cannot trigger a bank or wage levy.
Say that more simply for someone who's panicking right now.
Nobody's taken money out of your account this week because of one missed payment. There's a warning system with a cure window at every stage, and you're standing at the first one.
Okay, so what do I do with that window? Because I assume the answer isn't just send the money.
Sometimes it is. But before you do anything, figure out why the payment was missed, because the fix depends on the cause. The article puts it in buckets. One, you couldn't afford it that month. A one-time cash crunch is curable by catching up. Two, a direct debit failed. Changed account number, closed account, not enough in there on debit day. All of that reads as missed to the IRS computer, and you may get a CP 166 saying the bank payment couldn't be processed.
CP 166, that's the bounce debit one.
That's the one. And if your bank returned it for insufficient funds, a dishonored payment penalty can attach. Third bucket. You mailed a check and it didn't post. Checks get misapplied to the wrong year or lost. Check your IRS online account before you double pay.
And the fourth?
This one catches people who did everything right. You filed a new return with a balance due. Your agreement only covers the tax years written into it. A new unpaid year breaches it, even if every monthly payment was made on time.
Oh, that's brutal. Self-employed people with short estimates.
Constantly. And there's a fifth. Skipping a required filing or ignoring a financial review request on a plan that requires them, like a partial payment installment agreement, which the IRS re-reviews every 2 years.
So the mechanical ones you fix with proof and a corrected payment. The affordability one
needs a structural fix. If the payment was never realistic, catching up once just sets you up for the next miss. And a new balance default needs the new year rolled in. Matching the fix to the cause is most of the battle.
Let's talk cost, because I think that's what actually moves people. Curing versus not curing.
Cure before the CP 523 termination date, and there's no fee. You keep the original agreement. Reinstate after termination, and the fee is $89. $43 if you meet the IRS's low income criteria, plus whatever catch-up the plan requires.
The article walks through an example on that.
It does, and it's clearly hypothetical. But the arithmetic is the point. Someone owes $7,400, paying $150 a month. They miss August. September's debit bounces after a bank switch. They're $300 behind. Act in early October. $300 plus October's $150, so $450, no fee, plan intact.
And in December?
Plans terminated. Penalty doubles. So on that balance, it goes from about $18.50 a month to about $37. Getting back on means roughly $389 with the reinstatement fee. Same problem. And by February, you're looking at a frozen bank account.
Which brings up the part I want to be really clear on. What has to happen before a levy?
The plan has to actually terminate, and then the IRS has to issue a final notice, an LT11, or Letter 1058. That opens a 30-day window to request a collection due process hearing on Form 12153, and filing it pauses levy action while the hearing is pending.
LT11, or Letter 1058, 30 days, Form 12153.
Yes, one caution though. If a final notice already went out for those tax years before your plan started, the IRS may not need to send a new one. It can move faster.
That's the thing nobody tells you.
And there's a mid-step, too. If termination's already in motion, there's a CAP appeal on Form 9423, filed before the CP 523 deadline, asking an appeals officer to review the termination. Levies stay off the table while that's pending.
Does balance size change any of this?
It changes how automatic the path back is. Under $10,000 is the IRS's most forgiving tier. That's guaranteed installment agreement territory, and they generally want little more than the catch-up and current year compliance. $10,000 to $25,000, streamlined reinstatement or restructuring, usually no financial statement. Above $50,000, now you're into Form 433F or 433A, with income, expense, and asset detail.
And joint filers?
A defaulted joint liability plan exposes both spouses' wages and accounts. So that decision gets made together, not by one person quietly.
Honest question. When does someone not need us?
Often. One missed payment. You can cover it. No CP 523 has come. Pay online, confirm it, posted, done. A debit that failed for mechanical reason? Fix the bank details, pay manually, confirm the next debit date. Balance under $25,000 and you just need the payment lowered. The IRS can often adjust streamlined plans by phone or online.
And the hard versions?
The plan terminated and an LT11 is on the table. That 30-day window is a one-shot procedural right. And using it well means knowing what resolution you're proposing at the hearing. Or the payment was never affordable. And you're choosing between restructuring, partial pay, hardship status, an offer in compromise. That's a financial analysis question. And business or payroll tax plans escalate to revenue officers much faster.
One more thing about 2026 specifically.
The IRS workforce shrank roughly 27% in 2025. Phone lines are slower, but the default and termination and levy notices are generated by computers that never got cut. Silence gets read as refusal.
So, next 24 hours, what's the listener doing?
Find your controlling date. If a CP 523 arrived, circle the termination date printed on it. If none has come, log into your IRS online account and confirm exactly which payment shows as missed. Mailed notices lag reality by days. Then gather three things: your most recent return, every notice from the plan, and a realistic number for what you can actually pay each month going forward.
And if you want a second set of eyes, send us the notice. The free case review is at 888-825-7779. Our enrolled agents will look at whether the agreement can still be saved against that printed date. No promises about the answer, just the mechanism, mapped against your actual numbers.
And if no CP 523 has come yet, acting now stops the penalty and interest from compounding on your full balance another month. That part's entirely in your hands.